All right, if you got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 17 this morning. Acts chapter 17, we're going to pick up in verse number 22 this morning. That's where we left off. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be in this place and be gathered together and to be reminded of your presence in our life, Lord, to sing praise to you and to study your word together this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds to your words. And Lord, I pray that you would speak your message through me today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. We left off in chapter 17 last week and thinking about the second missionary journey of Paul and some of these others that have been faithfully serving along Paul. We pick up at verse number 22. It says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. As we left off last week, we find Paul in Athens in this place, and we see a little bit of a description this morning of what this place was like. As Paul has opportunity, up until this point, we've seen many a times as Paul goes from place to place in his journeys, that the very first place that he would go is to the temple, to the place of worship. We see now in the next part of this chapter, as we're reading it, in Mars Hill was a place not as a temple as we would think about where Paul had gone, but a place that was designated as a worship area for a whole lot of gods. It wasn't necessarily the temple place that Paul was accustomed to going, but it tells us there in that place in the midst of Mars Hill, it says, he proclaims to the men of Athens, to these individuals that were gathered together. And you see in this particular context, the verses it says there, he says, I perceive something. I wonder, in our heart, in our life today, do we ever take time just to look at our surroundings and to perceive the things that are going on around us? Some of us probably are more well-trained to do that than others. I think some of us probably are just excited about just being and doing, and we go about life and not really pay attention to a lot of things. And some of you probably are very detail-oriented and pay attention to everything that's going on and every situation and every person that might be in your area and those kinds of things. But you think about Paul as he makes entrance into Athens, he begins to see some very specific things. And if we take into context this verse here, he says, I perceive that you're kind of superstitious. That's the word that's written here for us, that they had some very specific things outlined in this place. In all things, he says, you are too superstitious. For in verse 23, as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. He says there in the later part of verse 23, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul comes into this city, into this place, and he begins to recognize some things. And we have to study some historical accounts to understand what Paul saw. There was great many statues and great many worshiping situations going on in the midst of Athens at this point in time. As Paul comes into this city, they were known for their worship of idols. And they were known for worshiping any and every kind of idol. And it was one of those things that was very accustomed for them to grab a hold of any person or any thought or any idea that was comfortable and just allow it to be a part of worship. And it's not hard today for us to consider the fact that it's kind of the same way we live in our world today. We live in a place that celebrates, in the United States, that celebrates freedom, right? We talk about freedom all the time, and we understand that there's, if you pay attention today, we're living in a country that celebrates their freedom in too many ways. we allow things that are really not according to the word and the truth of God. And if we take into consideration in the book of Acts, as we're reading it here in the city of Athens, this is exactly what was happening there. There was a great many gods and a great many statues and idols that were set up to worship. And as Paul sees these things, he begins to perceive that some of the differences of Athens, some of the differences that we've read through the book of Acts up until this point, he would go into a place or into a community, and there was obviously a place of worship set up already. We see this over and over as we've been studying here, that he would go into the temple place where they were already worshiping God. And maybe weren't worshiping him in the best way, not worshiping him in the true way, but they were worshiping God, the God, the one true God. And it's a little different in this place in Athens. They had all sorts of gods. And he gives us this indication in verse 23. He uses the word devotion. I have recognized as he was walking through the city, he says, I behold your devotions. And I wonder this morning, you might stop to consider, what does that word devotion mean? In the context, as Paul writes it here, there was a call to these individuals, these people in the city of Athens, to recognize where were their priorities. Now, if we were just to take a small little picture of our life today and to consider what is the priority of life today in America. We recognize this morning some very simple things. We can look around the room and we could probably have conversation today for probably the next hour and a half to 2 hours without even trying about devotions, about the ideas that are a part of the world that we live in today. It's not hard to recognize on a Sunday morning in most churches all over this country that our devotions are usually in a place other than God, that our devotions are usually on things of the world. And Paul began to recognize some devotions of the people in Athens, and they were very specifically to some other gods. He says, I found your devotion, and that's an indication of their heart. It's an indication of their life. We put it very simply today, it's an indication of the priority in their life. And their priority in their life in many situations in the city of Athens was to search out anything that was new and anything that was interesting and anything that was different. And to say in honesty that was their devotion, it was their life. They strived after the things that made them comfortable, the things that made them feel good. Sounds very familiar when we really consider what was happening in the situation in the book of Acts here in the city of Athens. There was great many devotions, and it was not to the one true God. I want you to consider this morning one of the most important things that we could ever understand in our life today. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then it's important for us to know where are our priorities. Where is our devotion? Where is our commitment to the one true God this morning? Where is our desire this morning? Are we in this place of worship because we had a desire to devote this time in our hearts and in our lives to hearing from the truth and the Word of God? Are we here to worship the one true God? Do we take priority in our life on a daily basis to have devotion to our God and make it the priority of our life? Or is our relationship with God this morning just something that is attached to the schedule and the busyness of our life so that we can feel good about who we are and say that we've done something on a Sunday morning? A careful consideration this morning, we celebrate on this day marked on the calendar for mothers. And I think oftentimes when we really stop to consider what mothers do in our lives today, there's a great devotion on the part of mothers in most things that, guys, we don't really even have a clue. I mean, for mothers, the work that goes on in our homes and in the life of our children and in our families and in the world and in the places that we go and the things that we do, there's a devotion there. God has called for a devotion today, not only for mothers, but for every one of us as faithful servants of God to truly put Him in first place, to put Him in priority. And Paul began to recognize, as he calls out to these men of Athens, I've noticed your devotions. I've seen these things. And he says, as I'm walking through your city and I'm seeing the things that are a priority to you, I've seen this inscription on this altar, to the unknown God. In great big capital letters, you see that in your Bible. It's a recognition today of what was happening in the city of Athens. He says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. That's a careful consideration. Why a statue to an unknown God? Why would you come to a place and to a city where they're worshiping all sorts of things and their focuses and their devotions are on all kinds of other things? But now we have this place in an inscription that says there's an unknown God. And careful thought might bring us to this understanding this morning that one of a couple of things. Either they knew without a doubt that they were not worshiping the true God, or they just want to cover all their bases. Right? Careful consideration says, well, maybe they just wanted to make sure that they didn't miss somebody. They didn't miss maybe the opportunity to worship the one true God that they already recognized they didn't really know. And if we consider this morning in the hearts and the lives of the people in this country that we live in today, they're missing the relationship with a true God. and we've put in place all sorts of other gods. We put in place of our Heavenly Father relationships with other people, with relationships to other gods and other priorities. It's our jobs, it's our homes, it's our families, it's our positions and our status. It's all of the things that the world is working for today that are now taking place in our heart and our life. Or is it simply because as we consider the historical account of the city of Athens, this was a place that many people came to. It was kind of a central place, and lots of people came in and out of the city of Athens. And careful consideration might put into our mind and our heart this morning to say that they wanted to make sure that they didn't offend anybody that might worship a god that didn't worship the other gods. So why not build a statue to the one that we don't know about, right? We don't want to be offensive. We don't want to exclude anybody, so we'll put up this statue of this unknown god just in case somebody comes here. And then by careful thought in the city of Athens, if you were to come into the city of Athens at this time and you worshipped a god that was different than those that were already established, you could feel welcome to worship there because they've got a god just for you. Well, we didn't know about your god. Go down there and worship to that god. We've got a place just designated for you. I want you to consider this morning that is an opportunity in the life of the church for us to recognize today who is the one true God. Amen. And what is He calling for us today in the church to do? Paul says very specifically to the men of Athens, he says, this God who you ignorantly worship. What does that mean? You have no idea who He is, but you're worshiping Him anyways. I want to tell you about this God. And what if today, if that was the goal and the priority of the church this morning, to truly witness and share to a lost world about a God that they so ignorantly worship? They have no idea who He was. God, in verse 24, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Paul begins now from this very moment, I want to proclaim to you the truth of a living God. The truth of a God that you have ignorantly worshipped, you know nothing about Him, but I want to share today with you about a God that has created all things, made the world and all things therein. He says, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, and He doesn't dwell in a temple. Man, praise God that we worship a God that doesn't dwell in a building.
Amen.
It's not about this place. We recognize today that we worship our one true God. We worship Him in heart and in spirit and in truth, and not about a building. It's not about having a specific place. It's not about having a specific time to worship God. It's about having a right heart and a right relationship with Jesus Christ so that we come into fellowship with Him and know that our call today as the church is to worship God in spirit and truth. That's what Paul calls for in this verse, that it's not about a God that dwells in a building or His name that is carved into a stone or a statue that sits on a mantle in somebody's place, but about worshiping the God that created everything that we have and everything that we see and everything that we know, and worshiping a God that has given us life and breath this morning. That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the God that He was calling out for these men and women to recognize. He says in verse 25, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. You consider this morning that our actions and attitudes of worship today, it's not about what we can do for God. Man, this is one of the things that is so important today for Christians to understand, because we build religion and we build relationships and we build churches today on what it is that we can do for God. And you know, the most important thing that we have to understand this morning as a church is that the only way to worship God is in spirit and in truth. And recognition that it is only because of Him that we're alive today. It's only because of Him that every person in this world, whether they want to admit it or recognize it or not, they are only alive and breathing this morning because God has allowed them to do that.
Amen.
Whether they want to admit it or not. Whether we want to put pride in our own selves or not. You understand today, this morning, one of the difficulties that we face in church life today is saying that we're doing something. One of the great challenges I think we face is getting people to understand their commitment to Christ is most important.
Mm-hmm.
And your understanding this morning in the life of the church, we talk about it often in our church. right here in Fowler all the time. I believe wholeheartedly God has given us a very specific outline of what we're supposed to do as Christians. First and foremost, we have to become a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the call that God has given to every person in this world. And when we faithfully come into fellowship with Jesus Christ through relationship and confessing our sins to Him and believing in our heart that He's the Lord of our life, then He gives us next direction. Next steps for the church today is that we would follow Him in believer's baptism. That's the outline that God has given to the church. Amen. And that's the step of obedience. We're saved, we're baptized, and then what does God say in the church? That we would get serious about being a part of the local body of believers. And that has nothing to do with being in this building every time the doors are open. It has to do with being in fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And being in commitment to Him. And being in relationship together. Yes, we have this building set aside and we have times on the calendar and times during the day to worship the Lord. And hopefully you're here. Understand, if none of you show up, it's just me standing here. It's kind of silly. But it's important for us to know what God was calling out in this as we speak and we think about the things that Paul was speaking here, that God made the world and all the things therein, and that we know that it's about Him. And it's not about a building and it's not about a place, but that we would worship God and that we would encourage others to do the same. That we'd come into fellowship together. That we'd have a desire to grow. I can tell you honestly this morning, I know it's not popular conversation today, but God has a great work to do in this place.
Amen.
And I want to challenge your heart this morning that God has a place for you to do that. He has something for you to do in the body of Christ. Now whether you want to accept it or not, whether you want to be a part of it, that's only between you and God. I could give you a list. If you want to know something that needs to be done, I can give you a list of things that need to be done. I can give it to you today. I could rattle on for the next 3 hours of things that I know that God wants to do in this place with you that are here this morning and with the people that couldn't be with us here this morning. With all of you, God has something that He wants for you to do. And He wants you to be a part of a local body of believers to do it. It's not about just going out there and running around and just doing whatever you think feels good, but about being in service to the Lord. Amen. And Paul was calling out for these individuals that were worshiping a God that they didn't even know. And he puts in their heart a desire. It's not about a building, and it's not about saying my name's on the list as a member of the church at Solid Rock in Fowler, but it's about being a member of the family of God.
Amen.
And having a hunger and a desire in your heart that says, I want to do something for God today. Because He's allowed me to do it. And because He's given me the ability to do it. Every one of you have gifts and talents that God has bestowed upon you. And He expects us to use those things. And I want to challenge your heart this morning. If we're not willing to do what God has asked of us to do, we're just missing out on blessings and opportunity that God wants to pour out on your life. It's not about just saying you did something in the church. And it's not about the things that we can do with our hands. And that's what He says in those verses as we think about it. Think about what God has called for us. Neither is worship with men's hands. That's what He says in verse 5. As though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. It's not about what you can do for God. It's not about saying that you showed up to church every time the doors were open. It's not about saying you read your Bible 100 times this week. It's not about going through the steps and saying you were out here pulling weeds and spraying all the things we do out here on the physical grounds of the building. It wasn't that you came here and vacuumed the floors and dusted all the cobwebs off. It wasn't that you went down the street and helped your neighbor. It wasn't about all those little things that we like to give ourselves credit for. It's about allowing God to use you. And when He uses you, you're going to do things that you never even could have imagined. And then we give the praise and the glory to God because of faithful service to Him. Think about it. In verse 26, and He hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Paul brings a challenge to these religious people. That's what they were. They were religious people. And I want to challenge your heart this morning that God did not call us to be religious.
That's right.
Not in any way, not in any shape. That is not what Scripture says. And you being a part of a church is not about being religious. It's about being in fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And being in obedience to what God has called us to do. And look what he says in there. We think, consider all these things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men. What does that mean? That God has built in this world today a desire in our heart. He has created each and every one of us to be in fellowship and relationship with him. Look what he says. For to dwell on the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. What it means is that God has created each and every one of you for a very specific purpose on this earth. And he knows the beginning of your days and he knows the end of your days. He knows what your life looks like. He knows today. He knows tomorrow. He knows 10 years from now. He knows the little child that is unborn this morning. And he knows the old lady or the old man that's taking their last breath today. And everywhere in between. He knows your heart. And he knows your life. And you know, one of the greatest opportunities we have today as a church is to get to a place in our relationship with the Lord where we stop being concerned about what we think is best and we start believing in the God that knows every detail of our life.
Amen.
So that we can be the servant that he's called us to be. And look what he says in 27. It should be a desire in our heart this morning. He says that we would feel after the Lord. That we would have a desire to search after those things. It's like one of those things. You ever lost something that's really important to you? You ever had that feeling? I think probably today people would search more after one of these silly cell phones than they would anything else.
Yep.
We lost it. I lost my cell phone. And I've seen more people panic. Go, where did that cell phone go? I can't find it. I lost it. We'll tear the house apart. Looking for that cell phone. Why? Because there's a connection problem, right? Because we're not attached to it. It's that leash that we hold on to. And we've got to have communication. We've lost our family. We've lost our friends. We feel like we've lost everything because we lost that cell phone. We can't call somebody. We can't text them. We can't get our email. We can't get on our Facebook, right? We can't get all of those things. And all of a sudden, life's just falling apart. And I wonder this morning, what happened to the church that longs to be close to Jesus like that? What happened to Christians that have a difficulty in their life when they've been so far away from the Lord that they just can't help but go searching for him?
Amen.
That's the kind of call that Paul was bringing to these people in Athens. He says, you're searching after everything in this world and you're searching after the wrong God. And we'd tear the place apart till we found the cell phone. And if we couldn't find the cell phone, we'd be standing in the line at Verizon for 5 hours till we could get us another one.
Yeah.
Because we'd be hurting. But we can't even get people to show up to church on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock on Mother's Day. Because
yeah.
It's too hard. We've got too many things to do, right? We can't get people to roll out of bed on Monday morning and say, Lord, you know what's most important to me today is to be in right fellowship with you. And on Tuesday morning, and on Wednesday morning, on Thursday morning, on Friday morning, on Saturday morning, on Sunday morning, the priority of our life is Jesus Christ. And I promise you this morning, if you'd get to a place in your life where God was more important than your cell phone, man, God would work.
Amen.
And we'd learn what Paul was trying to challenge to these religious people. He says that they should seek the Lord. That we would search after God like nothing else in our life today. And I promise you, when you get serious about seeking God in your life, He's going to give you direction.
Amen.
He's going to give you understanding. He's going to answer all the questions that you have running around in your mind. He's going to answer all those thoughts and those wonders. And He's going to answer those things when we truly search after God and not the things of this world. We seek after a God that cares about us. We seek after the Lord. And look what he says there in that verse. If haply they might feel after him. Look what he says. We're happy in the fact that we're searching after God. It's not a burden to look after God. It's not a burden to pick up your Bible and read it. It's not a burden to be in fellowship with the Lord in this place that he's given to us. It's not a burden to cut out an hour in our week to serve God. It's not a burden to, oh my goodness, to serve him more than 1 hour a week. It's not a burden to be at church more than one time on a Sunday or more than one time during the week. I know you're busy. I understand busyness. I do. I know all about it.
I live it every day, just like you do. Where is the priority in the heart of the church? That we'd seek after Him. And look what He says. That we'd happily, we'd be longing for Him. That it would bring joy to our heart to be in the place of worship. Not a burden, not a struggle, not a difficulty, not a thought in our mind that says, oh, I got to drag myself to church again today. Because if I don't, BJ's going to be wondering Monday morning. He's going to be calling me. Where you been? What happened? And of course, we do it the nice way, right? We send a text and said, we're just worried about you. Wanted to check in on you. Really, that means, hey, where were you? Right? That's what that really means. What it means is I was at church. Why weren't you? That's what that means. What if we came to fellowship together in the church because we wanted to be with Jesus? And when we leave this place this afternoon, we can celebrate on Mother's Day that we were in a place of worship and we met God today. That we reached after the Lord and He reached into our heart and He brought some conviction and some love in our heart. And He says, you know what? It's not about being in a place for me. It's about being in fellowship together. Mm-hmm. And being in an attitude of love. And Paul says that you would reach after these things. Think about it. And find Him. Look what he says. Not only we'd reach out to Him, but when you're going to reach out and you're going to search for God, guess what you're going to find? A God that loves you. A God that cares about you. A God that's concerned with every burden and every difficulty that's in your life right at this moment. Every question you've got in your mind. Every thought and every wonder. God knows it. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows your family relationships. He knows your communication. Man, we're getting personal this morning. He knows your communication between you and your spouse this last week that hasn't been so good. He knows your struggles between you and your children. He knows your financial problems. He knows your home life. He knows your work troubles. He knows all of those things that nobody else knows about. And Scripture says if we'll reach out to Him and we'll love Him and we'll care about Him and we'll have a desire to be in fellowship with Him, He'll fellowship with us and He'll continue to guide us. And when we don't really know how to answer all those financial problems and all those spiritual problems and we don't know where God's leading us, then we reach out, God will show us. And that's true fellowship. It's not about religion.
Amen.
It's about trusting a God that created every bit of this universe that we live in. And knowing that He's greater and mightier than anything we could ever comprehend. And know that He's got a longing in His heart to be in fellowship. You ever have just a desire in your heart to be with your family? You ever have one of those days when you just feel like, man, it just feels good to be in fellowship with each other. To love each other. To encourage each other. That's the kind of longing that God has for us today, every single day of our lives. For in verse 28, in Him we live and move and have our being. You know today that you don't have any of what you've got today without God.
That's right.
In Him we live. Honestly. When you consider this morning, which one of us have the ability to say, I'm going to stop breathing right now? You ever tried to just hold your breath? We've got this thing that goes on in our body. God created it this way. We've got a brain and a heart that tells us better than that. You can hold your breath as long as you want. You know what's going to happen? You're going to pass out on the floor and we're going to laugh at you. Because you're going to fall down on the floor and you're going to pass out and your heart's still going to beat. Why? Because that's the way God created us. And our heart's going to beat till the minute that God that created us says it's not going to beat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of God we're worshiping today.
Amen.
It's not about me and it's not about you and it's not about my plans and your plans. It's about serving a God that can say stop to the wind and to the waves. Yeah. It's about serving a God that can say, you know what, BJ, I don't want your heart to beat one more beat. It's over for you. And I could fall dead on the floor right here in front of you. And it's about serving a God that could say, okay, now you can beat again and the heart starts again. That's a God that we're serving. That's what it means to know and to live God. He says, and we move and we have our being only because of this God. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. He says, He brings a reminder to them in their religious life. Hey, you've heard these things before, but they don't really understand it. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. What does he say? We ought not to try to confine our God to some kind of image that we could make. That's what he boils it down to.
That's right. right.
Don't try to hold the God of this universe into a building or to an image or to some statue on your mantle at home. Man, if we're trying to limit God to that, that's exactly what we're doing. We're limiting everything that God could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And many a times today in the heart of believers, we limit God by saying, God, I only want to do this and I only want to do that. Well, God, you don't really want to do that. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like today in your heart if you'd get serious about allowing God to do what He wants to do in your life and you just simply said, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. Whenever you say it, however you say it, I'll do it. And if it started with the roughly 36 people that are sitting in this building today, and every one of you were willing to take a stand for the Lord and say, I'll do what you want me to do from this day forward, God. And I can promise you one thing, that God would begin to work not only in your heart, but in the life of your family, and your friends, and your co-workers, the life of this church. And we would see things happen in this community that have never been seen anywhere else before.
Right.
And we'd have no other opportunity but to praise God for it. Because we couldn't explain it. That's the kind of God that Paul was trying to explain to these individuals. He said, it's not about us and it's not about those things. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like anything gold or silver or anything we could ever build. He's a God that's bigger than all those things. And in the times of this ignorance, he says, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What does it mean? There was a time and a season where individuals didn't know. And there was a time and a season, and there is a time and a season in people's lives today when they don't know the truth of God. And for that moment, that terminology says he winked out there. God allows for those individuals that are not listening to his voice to go through that time in their life. But when the truth is there, they've had opportunity. And today, whether you realize it or not, we live in a world without excuse.
That's right.
There's no way in this world that people shouldn't know about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I want to tell you one thing. The reason people don't know about Christ today is because there's churches all over this world filled with people that don't want to tell anybody about the God that they say lives in their life. Because I'm not living my life being the example I need to be to the people I meet every single day. Because as the church, we're sitting comfortable on our chairs when it's convenient and expecting God's going to do something great with people that just kind of halfway live the Christian life. God's called us for something greater. He says, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance. Think about these things. What does he begin to say? Paul begins to challenge to these individuals. Think about who Jesus is. He's given assurance unto all men in verse 31, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That we serve a risen Lord. In verse 32, look what he says. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others told Paul, we'll hear you again. Keep telling us. Keep explaining to us this Jesus. Keep explaining to us the resurrection of a Savior. So Paul, in verse 33, departed from among them. Howbeit, it says in verse 34, certain men clave unto him, and they believed. Among which was Dionysius and Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Very specifically, he gives us just an example of a few people that were willing to believe. And I think it's interesting that Paul goes into this city full of idolatry, and we come out of the end of this chapter with a few people believing. Should be a warning for the church today. We're not so concerned about the numbers. It shouldn't be the priority of our life today to be concerned with how many people sit in the church pew on Sunday morning. But it should be the priority of the church to be concerned with the fact that there are still people in this world that don't know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul's mission was. To preach and to teach a living God to the lost world that had never heard it before. And some listened. Some said, I don't need that garbage. You're going to hear that today if you're willing to share it. People are going to turn away from the Lord. That's okay. What God's called us to is live obediently to Him.
Amen.
And I wonder this morning, would you be willing to be the servant God's called you to be? Would you take a step of faith and simply just say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you've called me to do? Maybe God's already been working in your heart. Maybe you know this morning without a doubt what God's already called you to do. And you've just been putting it off. Today's a good day to do it. Today's a great opportunity. Just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We have an invitation every Sunday. We get together, have an opportunity. That word invitation, that's what it means. We're inviting you to do what God has called you to do. Whatever that is. I don't know what it is for each of you. Like I said, I can give you a whole list of things. I can tell you what I think you should do. And you can say, that sounds good. Why don't you do it? Because I don't want to do it. And there's a lot of things in my life I don't really want to do either. Mm-hmm. What's most important for a faithful servant of God is we'll be willing to do it even though it may seem uncomfortable. Even though it may seem like we don't necessarily really need to do it. We would just trust the God of the universe that's guiding and leading in our life. Would you be obedient to Him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place. And I thank You for Your word and Your truth as Paul proclaimed it to the men and women of Athens. Lord, as they strove to be a religious city, open and willing to accept any and all kind of religions, all kind of beliefs and all kinds of gods. Lord, we know that we live in a world just the same today. And I pray, Lord, this morning in this place, Lord, that we would put our focus upon the one true God. Lord, that our heart and our life would be focused upon You this morning and what it is that You're calling for us to do. And Lord, You know every heart and every life in this place. Lord, You know every thought and every action in our attitudes today. And I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, if there's decisions that need to be made today, that You'd help us to do that. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's never truly believed wholeheartedly in You this morning. They don't know what it means to know You as their personal Lord and Savior so that they might understand Your direction. I pray You'd help them to come. I could share with them what it means to know You as their Lord and Savior today. Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made. Whatever Your will is in this place, I pray, Lord, You'd help us to be obedient to Your call. And we'll be careful to give You the praise. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. Are you going to use the hymnal? It's 294. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and direction in our lives. And we pray, Lord, You would just guide us from this place this morning. Lord, in an attitude of worship and service to You. Lord, as we leave this place, that we know that we've been in the presence of our Heavenly Father today. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit and how You guide us and lead us. And we pray You would just use us as You would have us to be used in this world as we go out into this place. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.